You are listening to an American Free Press podcast.
Joining me on the line is Mike Zullo, the lead investigator of Maricopa County Sheriff Joe Arpaio's cold case posse, investigated President Barack Obama's birth certificate. Mike, thanks for joining us today.
Hi, a pleasure to be with you.
Mike, I want to get into what you guys uncovered there, investigating Obama's birth certificate, but before we do, for the benefit of the listeners, just give them a little bit of background about who you are.
Sure, I am a former police officer, detective, and investigator of the state of New Jersey, and since 2005, I've been the commander and lead investigator for Sheriff Arpaio's cold case posse. The posse is a volunteer organization that the sheriff has instituted out here that by statute and constitutional law allows him to formulate volunteers with specific backgrounds to assist him in his day-to-day operations as he sees fit. And back about a year ago, the sheriff was tasked with looking into Mr. Obama's eligibility to be president of the United States by a birth certificate that he produced, and the sheriff commissioned five individuals, myself included, to go forward and investigate the matter for him.
Okay, and when was that date, Mike, that you began the investigation?
I believe it was back in around September of 2011.
And then you had your first press conference that was on March 1st of this year.
Correct.
And it was, at least online, coming from the Maricopa County Sheriff's Office. It's up there on the internet. And it's about 1 hour and 50 minutes long. I listened to the whole thing and I took some notes, but I just want to, before we get into that, the reason that you folks investigated the birth certificate issue is because you had some constituents, actually a large number of constituents, come forward, right?
Yeah, we did. The sheriff had approximately 250 signatures on a petition by some folks from, I believe it was the Surprise Tea Party, and they came forward and they were very concerned that the document that was produced by the White House depicting Mr. Obama being born in Hawaii may have been tampered with and/or fraudulent. And their concern was that their voting rights were going to be infringed if this information was erroneous, and they didn't know if they could rely on that information.
You were pretty surprised about your findings, at least that was what I picked up from the press conference, because it seemed like you folks were not out there looking to prove that this, in fact, wasn't an actual document, that it wasn't a forgery and a fraud, that you wanted to prove that it actually was something authentic, right?
Well, when we got this information, none of us, the sheriff, myself, and any of the other four members that I recruited to help us with this, had any real in-depth knowledge of the subject. I mean, you heard little bits and pieces of it. When I met with the sheriff didn't think this was going to be much of anything, and his words to me were, Mike, let's clear the president of this and get the country to move on. He goes, I don't think that this is really an issue. So that's what we did, and in about 72 hours after starting this, it became apparent to me that we had a severe problem here, and I had a report back to the sheriff that I could not clear the document. In fact, I was beginning to suspect the document was actually, as it was portrayed to him by this group at a Surprise, a manufactured or fraudulent document.
Yeah, I didn't realize that it was such a short amount of time, 72 hours, that it was readily apparent to you and the other investigators that there was a problem.
What happened there was, Dave, is I interviewed Jerome Corsi for 14 hours, and around the 14th hour, I was pretty much convinced that this was nothing. About 3 minutes after that, he showed me particular attention to the register stamp, which could be picked up and moved about the document, leaving a white ghosting behind it. That I knew from my own personal experience can't happen.
Right.
If you just scan a document and it just cannot happen that way, and that's what brought us to this level of suspicion.
Mm-hmm. After that happened, 14 hours is certainly a marathon session of interviewing somebody. But after you did that and you said, okay, we really have to look into this here because we might have a problem, you had several, and I got this from the press conference, several forensic document examiners take a look at this thing, right?
Yes.
And at 34 minutes and 20 seconds of this 1 hour and 50 minute press conference, you said, this is very serious. What did you mean by that?
It's serious on a number of levels. Number one, this is a PDF file. The meaning of a PDF file is it's created inside a computer. It's in the mind of a computer. Had this just been a scanned image of that birth certificate, it would be basically, for all intents and purposes, one-dimensional. It would have basically one link, one layer, and you couldn't move anything around the document. This document has, I believe, 9 links and 9 layers, and each one of those links and layers contains specific information that a computer doing a random selection of enhancing a document would not do on its own. Human intervention was applied to this document. It's serious in the fact that someone went to the lengths of creating this. It's serious in the fact that whoever did this knows that a PDF file could never be authenticated. They also know that you need an original document in order to call something an exact copy of, or an official copy of, or an authentic copy of an original document, and that has never been supplied. It's very troubling that the White House took claim to this. It's very troubling that the White House loaded this onto its server. It's very troubling that that the President of the United States referred to this particular document in question and, for lack of a better word, said this is proof positive of my birth in Hawaii, when in fact this document is proof positive of nothing. This is a fraud that has been perpetrated not only on the people of Maricopa County, but it's been perpetrated on everyone in the United States and via the internet. Basically, everyone throughout the world has the ability to look at this document and has the ability to see a press conference relying on a document that's manufactured. That's pretty serious stuff.
Coupled with the fact that you are not 99.99% sure, but 100% sure that there's a fraud and a forgery.
Without a doubt. We had document experts look at this and have questioned about the document. We had document experts tell us that without an original, they cannot authenticate it. So we know that the document itself has no ability to go into a court of law and be authenticated on any level. In other words, you could not survive courtroom scrutiny of this document, and there is no document examiner in the nation could go in and call this authentic. We also know that the document would not, if it was nothing more than a scanned image of something, a picture, if you will, would have the ability to pick up vital information like the state register stamp, which gives the document its legal standing, its legal veracity. It would not have the ability to be picked up off the document and moved about at will. It would not leave a white background behind it. The white background and the ability to move it around the paper indicates that it was actually imported from another source document. In other words, they took it off of one document and transplanted it onto this document to give the appearance of having authenticity when it doesn't. There's just no way it happens. We've had document examiners look at this. Now, they weren't forensic document examiners, but document examiners looking at this and run over 1,200 tests trying to get this particular PDF file to replicate itself, and it cannot be done. Every one of them failed. As a matter of fact, we gave it to an individual that thought he was going to be able to debunk our press conference, and he was not able to.
Yeah, that's
convinced.
Yeah, that's what I was going to ask. Has anybody come forward to try to counter what you're saying? And there isn't anyone in the whole United States.
Well, they come through a group of people known as OBOTs. And OBOTs are trying to defend this document ever since it was created. What they try to do or defend it is to use doubt and confusion. But there's never been a challenge put out to them that they could actually step up and show us that they're correct and we're wrong. We challenge them all the time. Merely produce what you're saying. Show us how I can scan this in and get a computer-generated document to do what this one does. No one ever accepts that challenge because you can't.
And of course, I want to get to the mainstream media in a little bit, but you said that at 43 minutes and 30 seconds that the document is fake, the representations therefore are fake. And you also said, and this is a great line, that the White House didn't produce, and this was at about 1 hour and 4 minutes, the White House didn't produce a document, they produced an electronic file. An original document was used, I guess, right? They scanned it and then they manipulated it. Is that how it worked?
We believe that they may have scanned in a document as a template, but there's also the possibility that they created it from scratch. You can build a template on a computer. But I'm thinking that somewhere along the line, they used a document that was lacking a lot of information, scanned it in, and used it as a template. That's what I'm leaning towards, but I can't be 100% sure on that.
And you also said that you have ID'd a person of interest in the forgery of the birth certificate, and that was about 44 and a half minutes into the press conference.
Those are persons of interest that still are persons of interest, and I can't go into any details about them.
And also you said that we would actually like to start, and I guess maybe this is the same as what you just said, but we would actually like to start with the person who hit the upload button and work backwards. We'll probably find him, and that was at about an hour and 8 minutes into the press conference.
Well, it goes back to anything you do as a cold case or even in a homicide. It's the last person to see the victim alive. You always start with the person closest to the event. So we have information that we secured that we know we are aware through metadata that's on the document that the document was sitting in a Mac computer in a program called Preview 20 minutes before it was actually uploaded to the White House website. Now, somebody had to take possession of the document, the electronic file, put it into a computer, enter it into Preview, that Apple program, do whatever they did, and then press an upload button and send it to the White House. Now, I would challenge any of your listeners, you try to log into the White House website and see if you could upload anything. You can't. You have to have the codes to get in, and that can only come from the White House. It's a very secure server. So my statement is, I would like to start talking with the person who last handled this was the person who pressed the upload button. Then you just merely work backwards. How did they get it? Who gave it to you? And you keep going back, 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 and eventually correctly, in a perfect world, it would lead you back to the original individual who created it.
Right. Now, something also very interesting, at 36 minutes and 38 seconds into the press conference, you talked about some records that disappeared from microfilm, the August 1st to 7th record. Now, was this when you approached the hospital where the president was allegedly born to try to get the microfilm from the original document? Is that what that was all about?
No, it's not. We were actually operating from a standpoint of lack of cooperation and lack of information. If you look into Mr. Obama's past, you have very little information to go on. As a matter of fact, you have one or two photographs that have been displayed of an individual purporting to be Barack Obama Sr. And merely you're shown a picture of, looks like a 10 or 11-year-old boy standing with this individual, and you're told that's his father. You're also told that Stanley Ann Dunham is his mother, and you're shown a couple photographs depicting these two individuals being together. But that in and of itself is not enough evidence to say that those are his parents, just because they show up in a photograph. We also had information that some of these photographs have been digitally altered. So what we were looking to do is, under the theory that if he wasn't born here, he was obviously not born in the United States, he would have had to have been a foreign birth. And we have information that points us in that direction. What we decided to do was check with airlines that back in 1960 would have been coming in from overseas to Hawaii. Now, they would have been Pan Am or TWA. Both of those are long gone.
Right.
We checked with the National Archives to see if they would have had passenger manifests from those international flights. The archives in Washington got back to us and told us they did not have passenger manifests, but what they did tell us is they had INS registration cards on file and microfilm from individuals that would have been flying in from overseas the Pacific route into Hawaii. So we asked them for a decade's worth. They copied some 685 rolls of film for us. We went down to look at that film, and obviously, you know, we were like little kids on Christmas. We ran down there and we opened up, I believe it was 2 weeks before the birth date of the president. August 4th, 1961 is his date. We were looking at those films and going through those cards, and lo and behold, when we got to August 1st, the reel went blank and didn't resume until August 10th. Now, that's the week that Mr. Obama has put down as his birth date, or someone put down as his birth date. It's just a little coincidental to us that that's the week that it's missing.
Right.
Now, just because a birth date is on a birth certificate doesn't mean that's the date of the event. And that's going to be an important statement that I'm making to you, because going forward 9 months, when the state of Hawaii sent a verification of information about Mr. Obama, they failed to verify the date of birth.
Mm-hmm.
So that date is subject to us. Now, that date of birth could have also been the day that the plane landed and somebody went and got a birth certificate 2 weeks, 3 weeks, 4 weeks after that. That was permissible in the state of Hawaii. So it's just a little coincidental to us and very suspicious to us that that block of dates is missing. And when we went through the rest of them, now we didn't go through all 685, but we went through a good number of those rolls of film, and it hadn't happened anywhere else. The National Archives was at a loss to explain it to us and could only guess it to what happened, but really didn't have a definitive answer.
And what was their guess?
It's possible that as the cards were going through the machine, they may have gotten stuck together, but when you go through that, you kind of realize that that was just an answer that they were trying to give. The way those cards lay out and the way that they were gone through the machines, that really couldn't have happened in the massive volume of a week's worth of INS cards. Somebody would have caught that.
Right. They look like they covered their track pretty well.
That's exactly what they did.
Mm-hmm. Another issue that I found very interesting was the TIKA stamp, and it looks like it's all capital T-I-K-A. What exactly did you find with that, Mike?
Well, Mr. Obama had, well, I'm not even sure he provided it. Mr. Obama had indicated somewhere along the line that he had registered for Selective Service. I believe it was on a talk show. A former INS agent requested through Immigration Naturalization Services a FOIA request, a Freedom of Information Act request, wanting to see Mr. Obama's Selective Service card. What he got from them in the mail was a little startling to him. Now, here's somebody that's actually an officer at one time in that department. What he found was, on Mr. Obama's registration card, there is a stamped seal, a TIKA date stamp, which was used by the post office back in 1960s through almost 1990, I believe, was the date that they used these TIKA stamps. And what he noticed on his particular stamp on the lower right corner, by mandate, that's supposed to have a stamp certifying the day that they take possession of the card. They stamp it, it would say the United States Post Office, whatever it was in Hawaii, wherever it would have been, and it would have shown the date. And I don't remember the date off the top of my head, but to say it was June 1st, 1980. The mandate is that it's a four-digit year stamp, in other words, 1980. On Mr. Obama's, it doesn't have 1980. It has just an 8 and a 0, and the top of the 8 and the top of the 0 are topped off. It also appears that that 8 and 0 sit too far to the right and low to the right when we compared them with 17 other Selective Service cards, two of which went to the same post office in Hawaii and were cleared with PICA stamps. All of those had 1980 as the year, and all of them sat distinctively different than Mr. Obama's. Through our investigational research, we secured a PICA date stamp set. However, there were no 1980 PICA stamps that we could secure. Looking at Mr. Obama's, we kind of started to suspect that what they did was somebody cut and made an 8-0 to give the representation of 1980. The problem was they didn't have the 1-9 portion of it.
Right.
What we decided to do was take a 2008 PICA stamp, it's only a rubber stamp, cut it in between the zeros, and then invert it. When you do that and you load it into the PICA date stamp handle, because you severed it, it's not cut flush or square. And when you seat it into the handle, it offsets low and to the right. And we were able to duplicate exactly what looked like Mr. Obama's date stamp. Now, we know that that didn't happen at the post office in 1980. These 1980, 1990, 2000, 2008 date stamps would have been sitting in those handles for the complete calendar year that they were in use. They were thick rubber. They don't wear out. They don't come loose. You have to pry them out of the handle. The other thing that became evident when we looked at it, though, is we inverted it to give the impression of an 8-0 after we cut it, but we noticed that the top now of the 8, which would have been the belly of the 8 if it was sitting correctly, was larger than the bottom. Now, to conceal the fact that you did, in fact, manufacture the stamp, cut it, and invert it, you had to sever the top of the 8 after it was inverted so no one could tell that it was actually the belly of the 8. Now, I know that's a little complicated over the phone to understand, but if you go to the website and see the videos, it makes perfect sense to you. What they did is they tried to conceal the fact that they manufactured a date stamp. This was extremely easy to accomplish. I recreated it in my living room. I actually took my breath away when it happened because I was like, oh my God, this is what they did.
Wow.
So now we know we have another problem. Number one, it was by law you had to do it. I had to register. And if you didn't, it carries some penalties, about 5-year prison term, $250,000 fine. But more importantly, you can't hold public office if you fail to register. So this looks like another piece of a puzzle of a manufactured background. And it's another document that now has a problem with it. You've got a birth certificate that has problems, and now you have a Selective Service card that has problems attached to it.
And I guess the biggest problem in all this is that if, in fact, this is true, and of course it is true, and all somebody has to do is pay a little attention, and they see that you guys don't have any reason to be lying, and you wouldn't represent that it's 100% a forgery if you weren't 100% sure. But what that means, I guess, is that if he's ineligible to be the president, which seems like he is ineligible to be the president, then I guess everything that he's done as the president could be repealed. Is that right?
That is my understanding. Obviously, I'm not a constitutional attorney, but I can tell you that I do think that a lot of that would be the case, and I think that is the crisis that this country is looking at, and perhaps that is one of the reasons why the sheriff cannot get any congressional assistance. We have been calling for a congressional investigation into this matter, and it's been basically like crying into a deaf ear. They don't want to look at it, and we're starting to suspect that this may be the very reason why, because the constitutional crisis something like this would cause, on top of the embarrassment and our standing throughout the world, could be something that they just don't have the stomach for, and they're just kind of hoping that they could take care of this problem at election time. I don't know. I don't know if that's really going to be the case, but at some point in time, somebody's going to have to look at this. You can't have a fraud at this level perpetrated against the nation for the highest office in the country go uninvestigated. It just can't happen.
I know that from Pete Papaheraklis' article in American Free Press that you worked between 60 and 100 hours a week on this. Is that right?
I'm still doing it. I am still doing it. It's 9 months. It has been ever-consuming. It smacks of a disinformation strategy. And in those strategies, you get bits and pieces of truth that just put you into rabbit trails or rabbit holes, dead ends. There's always an element of truth in it. So you're starting to pursue the truth, only to find out that the truth doesn't lead you anywhere. It appears to be a manufactured background, and not done by any big covert organization. I don't think the CIA or anything like that did this. This is kind of amateuristic because of the magnitude of errors. But it does appear to be a manufactured background from our position. In saying that, I don't say that just to throw it out there. If this individual was coming to the Maricopa County Sheriff's Office filling out a job application to be a deputy, he could never be hired.
Right.
You can't get a job as a cop, but yet you could be the president of the United States. He literally, by the standards of the federal government, could not secure a job to be a janitor in the White House. His background would never be cleared. And you look at this and you start to think about this and really just step back and leave the emotions and the politics out of it. You have a man who's been alive 51, 52 years. You have a man who's been through prestigious universities, Harvard law degree, been an attorney, and you don't find any hard documents to support that. You get bits and pieces of things, but you don't see a college thesis. You don't see him as being purported the president of the Harvard Law Review, even author a paper. You don't have any information. I have more information on cold case homicide victims than I do on this man.
Wow. This is very disturbing information. But for me anyway, what was the most disturbing was what happened at the end of the press conference. And that was when certain members of the media were asking questions. Did you recall what media outlets showed up as far as like that have national exposure, not like Channel 5 there in Phoenix, but were there any national media outlets like CNN or any of those?
There has never been a national media outlet other than the AP that shows up for this press conference that we just had on July 17th or the one on March 1st. They don't show up. We're sure they're monitoring them through their affiliate stations, but they don't show up to cover it. We know for a fact there's been a media blackout. There's been a media blackout on this ever since that birth certificate was released. I have information of names of people I cannot share with you, but creditable information from high-level individuals in both radio and television media that were warned to drop the subject or pay consequences. This went dark in 24 hours. After the White House released this PDF, this went completely dark. National media will not cover it. Fox will not cover it. We were supposed to have an interview with Sean Hannity. That got pulled. It's a blackout. That, if anything, aside from this shady past, that, if anything, could be the most alarming thing to the people of this country. Because the vetting of the President of the United States, what we learned, and I didn't know this, there is no agency on the payroll of the federal government that vets any presidential candidate, vets the president-elect, or vets the president himself. According to the federal government employee services, which we contacted, the only vetting of a presidential candidate is done by the requirements in the Constitution, done by the loyal opposition, and the media. Those are their words. Now, when you have a media that isn't reporting information like this to the people of this country, you no longer have a free press. You have a press that's controlled. And if you go back in history, you start to understand what happens when they start to control the press to the magnitude they're doing here. And usually things don't end up good.
Right.
And I fear that that's what we have here.
We're in agreement here that this is, in fact, even more disturbing than the fact that this is a manufactured person here, that the media is working in lockstep and that they're applying threats to members of the media telling them, you will not cover this topic.
Exactly. And, you know, Dave, you have to think about this. I mean, you have an individual who is applying to the people of America for a job, the highest office in the land, but it is a job. And during his interview process with you, he's saying, I'm not producing anything. I'm just going to tell you who I am. If you want to find it, you have to go find it on your own. Would you hire that guy?
In a heartbeat.
Try to get a job. Think about it. I mean, think about what the arrogance is of this. But you know when you could do that is when you have a media who's silent. I mean, everybody knows there's been no vetting of him. We don't really know about him. You ask any of your listeners to sit down and really be honest about it. What do you know about him? I don't know much. What I know is what I'm told, but I can't verify it. I know that I have documents that don't make sense. I know I have a White House that never responds to any of the accusations. They just stay silent, try to ignore it, or they use those Alinsky tactics and try to discredit the messenger or try to marginalize those speaking against it in a fashion. They try to use ridicule and they label these people birthers. Now, I was never a birther. I didn't even know that this was going on to this magnitude when I got a call. I was minding my own business. When this thing started, I thought this would be over relatively quick. It's not. And the reason that it's like the gift that just doesn't want to stop giving is because there are so many open ends that you can't close it. And I don't know which press conference I said it in, but I said this was not the result that I wanted. I didn't want this to be true. I tried to do everything I can, for lack of a better way to put it, to clear this document, and I can't.
Yeah, that was the first press conference. You said that in about an hour and 9 minutes. You said, I didn't want this to happen, but it did.
It is what it is. I can't change it.
Right. This is what's really confusing to me. Disturbing, confusing. You did have several members of the local media. Now, if I was there present and I heard what you had to say and the press conference and the presentation of the facts, I would personally be concentrating on the facts of what you had, which is what the sheriff was pleading for them to do, but they didn't. But why do you think that certain members, and almost all of them except for one or two of them, were so aggressive at the press conference? They were completely overlooking what you uncovered. And instead of looking at that, they wanted to know about your background and they wanted to know about the sheriff's approach toward illegal immigrants. Why do you think that was, that the media there, they move in lockstep and they don't pay attention to what you presented to them, but instead wanted information that would discredit you?
That's right out of the Alinsky textbook, which was something I didn't know anything about until I started doing this. And this is the first time I've been the recipient of a media attack like this. You try to discredit those bringing the message. You try to create doubt. You try to change the subject. You try to put them on a defensive. You try to divert the attention of those listening. And that is a radical 1960s approach to dealing with things. But they're moving in lockstep because I firmly believe that the media as a whole has been hijacked and that those that control the media have a bend towards a liberal bias and they're in the bag for this particular individual. Let me tell you something. If this was George Bush, they'd be giving me the key to the kingdom for this
right. Instead
of trying to demonize me.
But what you're saying is that the media is prominent families that are in collusion with one another.
And that really is what I'm saying. Rupert Murdoch's latest troubles, where he had to step down from some boards and whatnot. I received that information during the course of this investigation about 7 months ago. This was foretold to me that this was going to happen. We also had information that they had threatened him, Soros operatives, threatened him and told him that if he reported on his birth certificate issue any longer, that they were going to lodge FCC complaints against him. They would dismantle News Corp because they would allege it was a monopolistic news organization, and they would ruin him. And we had information given to us 7 months ago that he would be stepping down. We were also told at some point that he would also be facing some tough challenges, and I don't want to disclose any more than they already gave me, but he would be facing some tough challenges. Now, I just watched it happen. He had to step down. He's got some problems. He's breaking up parts of News Corp. There's a bigger game being played here than you or I see.
Right.
As a result of what I've been learning here, I don't want to use the word trepidation. I am overly concerned with the direction that we're going. I'm overly concerned at the news reports that people read. I am overly concerned that people go to the internet and think that they can understand a topic in a minute and a half video clip, or that what the media shows them is actually what happened. I mean, if you just took the press conferences, if people just watched the press conferences that we gave, and then you read what the media reports are, it's like the media wasn't even there.
Right.
That should be very, very alarming to everyone. You're not being informed. The way the country is being handled, the way the people are being led astray is very concerning to me. I have children. I'm concerned about those kids.
So after this March 1st press conference, Mike, what happened? Did the investigation go on? Did you know which direction you were going to go in after that point?
I knew the investigation was going on. The sheriff and I had already discussed the investigation was going on. That March 1st press conference was something that the sheriff had promised the Tea Party that he would give an update press conference. Actually, he wanted to have that back in December of 2011. I was nowhere near ready for that. So we knew the investigation was going to continue. We were not finished. At that point, I don't believe we went to Hawaii yet. No, we didn't. We knew we were going to end up going to Hawaii. We knew we were going to make contact with the Department of Health in Hawaii at some point. I mean, we had a lot of work ahead of us. So we already had a roadmap of what we were going to do and where we were going to go. These were just the opening salvos, if you will, as to where we were headed with other agencies, which we didn't get very much cooperation from them.
I saw that. Next press conference was July 17th. And again, it started out completely different than number one, because number one, it seemed like you were all excited to give this information. You, of course, didn't know what type of reception you were going to get from the captured media. But then Lisa Allen came out. And what are you, spokesperson for Sheriff Joe's office?
She is the public information officer for the Maricopa County Sheriff's Office.
Lisa Allen came out and said that the media has demeaned this investigation at every turn as silly and wasteful. And then at about 11 minutes into the press conference, you said that numeral digital businesses that you contacted, that no one wanted to touch this investigation because of the nature of the document. So besides the media moving in lockstep, now corporations are moving in lockstep?
Well, what we had reached out for were court-certified document examiners, digital forensic examiners, and we contacted two businesses that secured those individuals for you. And both businesses, unrelated to each other, they didn't know each other, they didn't know we made the request, a few different ones, both came back to us with the same information that nobody wanted to go near this because it was the President of the United States.
You went to Hawaii, and I listened from when you explained why it was that a deputy joined you. Sheriff Joe was concerned that, of course, in Arizona, you could carry your weapons, but you would not be able to do that in Hawaii. And he was concerned that if something happened, you would be a target for being prepared. And I'm using the word target. He didn't. But he wanted to send a deputy with you to Hawaii. That's correct, right?
Correct.
And what happened was that would have been out of taxpayer expense, and that was actually the only item in this whole investigation that the taxpayers would have paid for. Is that right?
It would have been out of taxpayer expense, but the sheriff had pledged to not use taxpayer money for this investigation. So when this situation arose, we were faced with a challenge because I didn't want to take a deputy with me at some point. I was like, look, why are we going to do this? We're going to open ourselves up for a lot of ridicule, and the sheriff knew it, but he made it really clear. He said, it's too hot right now. The sheriff had been threatened twice over this investigation. Death threats against him. They arrested one individual, I believe, who made those threats, and he was concerned. So we decided to request public assistance in covering that debt through our 501(c) corporation, which the posse operates out of. So we had dollars contributed to us throughout the country, and we had enough in resources to cover the cost of the deputy. So when we knew we could accommodate that, the deputy then was cleared to go with us. Upon our return, the sheriff's office secured a check from me, from my 501(c) corporation, to cover that expense, and they presented that check to the board of supervisors in the county. Now, this goes down to local politics.
Right.
Somewhere along the line, the fix was in, and they refused to take the money to cover the cost of the deputy. So in doing so, it wasn't the sheriff, it was the board of supervisors that stuck the taxpayer with the bill. But the media, to this day, has now said that the sheriff breached his promise and utilized taxpayer money to send a deputy, one deputy with us in a 9-month investigation, one deputy, the only resource ever used by Maricopa County Sheriff's Office in this investigation. They hang him with the bill, and they tell the public, erroneously tell the public, that the sheriff used public money. And they negate to tell the public that the posse covered the expense, but the Board of Supervisors turned down the money.
And they got away with it. Why do you think the Board of Supervisors turned down the donated funds?
The individuals that were voting against it are two individuals that the sheriff at one point had investigated and in fact placed under arrest and have lawsuits pending against the Maricopa County Sheriff.
Okay, so it's like payback.
Yeah, those were corruption cases. It is payback. It's political payback, but it also shows you a joint effort between those individuals and the media.
Right.
That's why in the second press conference, I made it really clear that we covered this expense because
right.
The media is not telling the public the truth.
They never do. So the Board of Supervisors would rather have the taxpayers pay for this versus using funds that are already earmarked just for this purpose.
They actually turned down $9,000. They turned it down. They said, no, we're not going to take it. They voted not to take it.
And because the media does not report the actual news, most of the taxpayers will not know that the Board of Supervisors actually made them pay the $9,000.
That's correct.
That's great. Things are working great in the country.
That's the political agenda, and it's a political move. The sheriff's a Republican. One individual was a Democrat that voted against it, and the other was a Republican. But you know what? The sheriff investigated everybody, and the sheriff did his job. See, one thing about Sheriff Rapile is he is a no-nonsense law enforcement officer. It's just about the law with him. He
right.
doesn't pick favorites.
Right.
And these people, like you said, it's payback.
Amazing. Now, of course, you went to Hawaii, and as you mentioned several times, the Hawaiian officials were very uncooperative, which was unfortunate. But what you said there was that there are no documents, none, zero, zilch, there are no documents that prove Obama was born in Hawaii.
Correct.
You also said that if they were able to show you the microfilm, you said, show us a microfilm. Where's the microfilm? And the sheriff said that, too. That would solve everything, but they will not show you the microfilm, right?
They won't show you the microfilm.
And at 51 minutes of the second press conference, you said, eventually, something's got to give. You still think that?
Yeah, eventually something has to give. Eventually, somebody's going to step forward. Eventually, we're going to find something. Eventually, the truth is going to come out as to what's going on here. And really what has to give, in my opinion, would be under a new administration, a congressional investigation with the appointment of a special prosecutor to look not only into the birth certificate issue, but the practices of the state of Hawaii and the Department of Health in Hawaii. The way that these people control birth documents is atrocious. And what the public needs to understand is that birth certificate is a gateway, if you will, to every other legitimate document that you could get in the United States of America. In other words, if you had a fraudulent birth certificate, you could get a legitimate Social Security card, a legitimate driver's license, a legitimate real estate license. You could get a number of licenses or documents that are legitimate, that are real, based off of a fictitious birth certificate. And during our investigation in the state of Hawaii, after actually meeting with Deputy Attorney General from the state of Hawaii, who really rose our suspicions with the way that he was conducting the interview with us and hiding behind statutes, we discovered two big loopholes in the Department of Health statutes covered under the Hawaii statutes, allowing them to, for lack of a better word, actually create citizens, bypassing naturalization and immigration policies of the federal government. And these people literally have in place a mechanism to have a birth declared anywhere in the world and have a mechanism for that individual to get a Hawaiian birth certificate. Well, getting a Hawaiian birth certificate really wouldn't be a problem if Hawaii wasn't part of the United States of America. But they are part of the United States of America. And that Hawaiian birth certificate carries the same weight as any other birth certificate in the nation. And when you start to think about what they're able to do, they are able to take a foreign birth and register it as if it happened in the state when it didn't. But federal law is very clear that a United States citizen born abroad gets a different type of birth certificate issued from the State Department of the federal government. And those birth certificates say just that, United States citizen born abroad. because the fact of the matter is there is a reason why they want to know, the federal government wants to know, if you were born on foreign soil or United States soil. And what Hawaii has the unique ability to do that we can determine is they can literally give you the same status as if you were born on the soil of the United States, even if you were born in France, in Zimbabwe, in Italy, no matter where you were born. They have that unique ability, and that's in direct conflict with federal law.
Right, and that's why you're saying eventually something, one of these things has to go.
If you think about this, Dave, the Maricopa County Sheriff, Joe Arpaio, just uncovered one of the biggest plots in the nation to bypass immigration law, and the media is not reporting on it. The media has said nothing. If they wanted to leave the birth certificate out of it, the national media could report on these arcanic laws that are allowing this process. Nobody thinks about it, but Hawaii is now the new border state. And people don't realize that a birth certificate gives you the ability then to get on an airplane and fly right over the borders of California, the border of Arizona, the borders of Texas, all the way to New York. You can get anywhere the minute you have that birth certificate.
Media is not saying one peep about it.
Not saying one word about it. And we do have documented evidence of the statutes that these laws are violating. I mean, Arizona, for all it's trying to do to combat illegal immigration, and Sheriff Arpaio is at the forefront of this. This is why the attack is on him. SB 1070 went to the Supreme Court. What we discovered in Hawaii is in direct opposition to the most recent ruling by the United States Supreme Court regarding immigration. And nobody wants to talk about it.
At this point, what's the investigation doing?
Investigation is still going on. It's still ongoing. I can't go into detail as to what we're doing, but we're not stopping. We continue to gather information. We are pursuing new leads, new directions. Right now, it's a game against the clock. We know there's going to be an election. Even though there's going to be an election, doesn't mean we're still not going to try to take this, no matter the outcome, and pursue it further. I mean, this is something that could never happen here again. There needs to be some serious changes.
Mike Dulo, the lead investigator of Maricopa County Sheriff Joe Arpaio's cold case posse, spent quite a bit of time investigating President Obama's birth certificate. You did an unbelievable job. I want to thank you for taking the time out during this interview to explain all this to the listeners the way you did, and looking forward to speaking to you again.
Thanks. I appreciate the opportunity. Thank you very much.